You speak so eloquently. You're so well-spoken. You're so articulate. These are a few of the phrases that I, as well as many other people of color, have heard many times. They were usually meant to be compliments, but children and some friends would usually put it more bluntly, saying, "You talk white." I wouldn't react much to hearing someone say this, but I always thought, how do I talk white? I'm obviously black. It wasn't until I left for college that I began to see and talk to people who shared similar experiences and stories.
Raised basically as an only child, I'm a lot like my mom, so I never thought about like how I was an individual until I had to spend summers or weekends with my cousins who were very different than me and closer to the stereotype of black people.
Mariel Eves is a close friend who's lived in the Raleigh-Durham area her entire life and is a graphic designer.
And a lot of that realization came from them saying things like, you sound white, and you read too much, and...
I also spoke with Adaria Coulter, who is another close friend that lives in the Raleigh area. She's an artist who focuses on Afrocentric pieces.
At this point, I am who I am, like the truest version of that I've been thus far. Because as a child, as a teenager, you deal with that whole, I don't know who I am, that mm-hmm. I'm not confident in myself, you know, the low self-esteem, all that stuff is, I mean, it's just in the atmosphere for everyone, I think, so.
We shared our experiences and how they affected us.
Because I recall the conversations where mm-hmm. people were like, it's okay, she's not a real black person. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm not really black.
Mm-hmm. And
like,
I think that's a compliment.
Yep.
Right, and like, childhood me was like, oh, funny, you know, not understanding that that's all reinforcing this idea that black people can't be smart, black people mm-hmm. can't be this or that, and, you know, the Oreo thing, you know, I got called mm-hmm. Oreo so much in my life that it's yep. ridiculous, and it's like, no, I mean, I am black, I'm definitely black, there's mm-hmm. nothing that says I'm not, and, all of a sudden, because I like books, you know, because I'm doing well in my classes, why can't I be black and do those things? Mm-hmm. I cringe at my former self for, like, laughing at that stuff mm-hmm. because, like, I didn't understand.
Well, what else were you supposed to do at that time? Would you challenge that as a yeah. kid looking back?
As a kid, I don't think I laughed along, but I never said anything. I didn't yeah. know.
Back to Mariel.
I didn't know, what do you say to that? Like,
because it's kind of a weird, you're like, not really black.
Yeah. Because, like, at that young, you're not thinking about defending your racial identity. Mm-hmm. You're just being.
Nikki Brown is another friend in Durham. She has different sorts of challenges with black identity.
As a black albino, you know, it's very obvious. And I think that in some ways people were waiting for me to act quote unquote white, you know? So like elementary school, you have that first day of school where the kids see who the parent is that brings you to school and they see what you look like. And in their mind, they're trying to figure out how this works. They're trying to build kind of their critique of who you are and what you're supposed to be.
One thing that's constant for all of us was the need for code switching.
Using different words in different groups of in different settings in order to show that you're part of that group.
Code switching being a big
yes,
thing.
Yes, code switching is absolutely very necessary and very important. I consider myself multilingual. I really do.
Like your mannerisms change too. It's not yeah. just your words. It's how you yeah. act. It's your volume. It's, you know, what you're doing with your body when mm-hmm. you're talking. It's, and then they change their voice to do that mocking white person voice where it's like everything all of a sudden, the grammar's correct. Yeah, everything is proper. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the tone is a little bit different. It's like, yeah, so I was with my friends. I was like, this dude walked up and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing over there? Like, you know, that sort of thing. Where it's like, so I think we all have this basic understanding of code switching without actually knowing what it is because it's part of, like, a requirement.
The biggest example I can remember of dealing with code switching was in high school. I went to a predominantly white school while also attending a mostly black and Hispanic after-school program. While I don't think I changed my speech as much as some other people did, I did understand that some social issues and jokes were much harder to bring up in one setting than another. For instance, it's one thing to sit around with other kids of color and talk about the way cops view us. and a very different thing to have that conversation with white kids. Besides those differences, my friends and I talked about that feeling that we've all had in majority white settings, that we had to uphold our entire race.
You can't drop the ball because yep. you represent all the black people, so you have to do a great job mm-hmm. when you're in that arena. Mm-hmm. That sucks because, like, I can't just throw around words like, you know... Because
you're representing...
Yeah.
Everyone. Because
then my vernacular is taken as ignorance, and it isn't that. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. These are just parts of my vocabulary. These are things that I say amongst my friends where it's like, I understand that I can speak this way and use jargon and slang, and it's mm-hmm. fine. It doesn't make me any less educated. It means mm-hmm. that it's part of my...
Now, coming out of college, I guess I have a deeper understanding of my own identity. It's not threatened by what other people say. Black people talk in a lot of different ways, including like this.